Sure, that was good, eh? Thanks, worship team. That was amazing. And I just love that we just followed the Lord, just followed the Spirit. We don't orchestrate the stuff. We don't orchestrate worship. We don't say three songs and then this and then three songs and then that. We just see what the Holy Spirit does. So if you knew, that's what happened. It's amazing. So thank you, worship team. Thanks, Karin and everyone. That was amazing. Okay, awesome. So, the title of my message this morning is Humility in Our Calling. And I want to, firstly, let me just say last week was, I've said it a few times, I'm not going to say it one more time. Last week was amazing, right? I was blown away Sunday night. Thanks. I was blown away Sunday night just what God did. And what he wants to do in us and what he did in us, but also what he wants to do through us. And the prophetic word spoken over us through Milani and the team was incredible. I did post it on the info group, so I really want to encourage you to go listen to what Milani said last week for us as a congregation and allow it just to stir faith. But one thing is super clear for me after last week, and I'm hoping we'll get it this morning, is that God has a plan and a purpose. A purpose, a destiny, and an inheritance for us, as Justin Weinberg. Do we believe that? Our inheritance is great. What God has for us is great. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful, and there's a great harvest for us, church. There's a great harvest for us. And this morning, I want to go, do we realize that? We're not here to play games. We're not here just to kind of trot along, come to church on a Sunday, go to come on a Wednesday, and that's kind of it. We're not here just to go through the motions, but God has an exciting plan for us as Justin Weinberg. Do we believe that? Do we see it? Do we believe it? Do you have faith for that? And my heart this morning is to make us uncomfortable. Who likes being uncomfortable? because I want us to be uncomfortable this morning because I want us to consider the things that God has for us. And if that doesn't make us uncomfortable, then something's wrong. I want our boats to be rocked, or our flesh and our comfort to be rocked this morning, just seeing God and seeing what he has for us. At least that's how it feels to me. I am full of faith, and I know what God wants to do, and I'm trusting that he'll do it, but it makes me uncomfortable because I'm going, we can't do this, actually, in our own strength. Milani mentioned last week that Jesus is asking us to believe him, to trust him, that we should be a people of faith, that we will trust him with boldness, with courage, that we will have guts, that God wants to do a mighty work in us, and he wants to do a mighty work through us in the Sound Suburbs. And the question is, do we believe this? Do we go, I see it, I believe it, I have faith that God wants to do something? And that should make us uncomfortable. So this morning, I want to preach on, in light of the fact that God wants to do mighty works in us, that he wants to do mighty works through us, in light of last weekend, how do we respond? Because that is crucial, right? Last weekend was amazing. We received a lot of words. God wants to do something in Weinberg. And I don't want us to be in a place 4, 5, 6 months down the line, a year from now, where we get Milani and the team in again, and she does the same thing because we haven't moved. Right? The only responsibility we have in light of last week is to respond in the right way. God needs to do the work. He does the work. But we need to be a people that respond to him. So in light of last week, how do we respond to him? And I feel there's two ways that in which we should respond to him calling us for what he has for us, for our inheritance. And the first one has to do with our heart's posture. Jock last week spoke about humility in our weakness. And it was an incredible preach, right? If you were last week, it was amazing. I mean, that man must stay out of nature, because he got driven, if you weren't here last week, a boat rode over him. Basically, he was busy spear fishing and a boat went over him. And then he did mention it, but the full story is he, like, just as he came out of the hospital, he went on some hike and he almost got killed by like a rogue boulder or rock or something that came down the mountain. So he almost died as well. So that guy must have out of nature, but he spoke about humility in our weakness. And I want to follow along the same vein this morning. In light of everything God wants to do in us and in light of everything God wants to do through us, I believe we should posture our hearts and lives in humility. It is only through humility. If we want to be a people who walk in the inheritance God has for us, if we want to see Him use us to impact the Sound Suburbs, because that's what He has for us, right? We're not here just to play games. We're here to impact our neighborhoods, where we live. Like, we're here to impact the Sound Suburbs. Our response should actually be that we should bow our knee before Him, first and foremost. We should bow our knee before Him. We need to have the revelation, and it's a revelation, because sometimes we can know it in our heads, but not in our hearts. We need to have a revelation that God does not need our strength. He does not need our strength. It is only through His Spirit that we can walk in our inheritance, in what He has for us. We need to have humility in letting go of our pride, in letting go of our apathy, of our comfort, actually in letting go of our lives. We need to let go of our lives. This is such a well-known scripture, but in Zechariah 4 verse 6, we read the following. So, He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Jeepers. Who's going to pronounce that for me? Zerubbabel. Oh my. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And this message was given to that man who was leading the rebuilding of the temple. And he had significant challenges in rebuilding. God called him to rebuild the temple, and he had significant challenges. And he couldn't do it in his own strength. And we can't do it in our own strength. We can't walk in what God has for us, in our inheritance, in what He's calling us to be and to do in the Sound Suburbs. We can't do it in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to come and do the work. And I want to say this, we need to continually humble ourselves and ask Him for His Spirit. Not once, not once a month, not on a Sunday, every single day. We need to come before God, we need to bow our knee, we need to let go of our lives, and we need to cry out for His Spirit. It's only through His Spirit that we can do what He's called us to do. Ask Him to work and move on our behalf. And the question that I want to ask is, do we believe that He wants to? Do we believe that He wants to use us, move in us, and through us? Not just some of us, not just the elders or the leaders or the deacons, but every single person. Do every single person sitting here this morning believe that God wants to use us? You. Do we have childlike faith in Him? That came through this morning somewhere. I can't remember if it was at the prayer meeting or during worship now, but someone mentioned childlike faith this morning. And I want to share the story. This week, Monday, I got an email saying that the house that we live in has been sold, so we need to move, which is going to require faith on my part, you know. So, you know, leading by examples in a sense. Because, I mean, the Sound Suburbs, like, I mean, you all stay here. The renting prices is ridiculous. But I got advice from someone saying that I should make it a family affair. We need a new home. I have three dogs. And I need a new home. So this person said, involve your kids. Because let your kids pray with you. And pray together as a family so that they can see how God provides. Which is quite a daunting step for me. Because I was like, what happens if it doesn't work out? What happens if I break my faith, child's faith, because it didn't work out? But we call to walk by faith. So anyway, got the family together Tuesday morning. I heard Monday afternoon, and I said, okay, girls, I thought they're going to be super, like, traumatized and emotional, that we know, because they do love our home. So I go, hey, guys or ladies, we are going to move. We need to move houses, so we need to trust the Lord to provide us a home. And I thought I'm going to ask a million questions, and what about this and what about that? And my firstborn's response was, okay, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. We just need space for our dogs. That's her reaction. So what we did, and I'm putting it out there because first you pray that we will find a home, but also I'm in it with you guys. I'm not some sort, like we all need to trust God. We all need to walk by faith. So we make a list of things that we want in our new home. So we make a list and we pray for it. So I pray, my wife prays, my oldest prays, and she prays a beautiful prayer. Lord, give us a home. Thank you, God, that you will provide for us. Like I'm like, jeepers, beautiful. And then I ask my second child, Lana. She's a bit of a rogue agent. She'll run. Like you can't leave her. Like my firstborn, if we're in church, she knows she's not allowed to go through the doors. My second one, she just goes. And I ask Lana, what do you also want to pray? What do you want to pray for? And she kind of looks around and she looks at the floor and she goes, I want to thank God for the floor. I was like, cool, that's a hit and a miss, 50%. Anyway, my point is, we need to have childlike faith. We need to trust God. Like children, don't worry about tomorrow and about next month and where we're going to get money for this and how is that going to work. They just trust their father. And we need to have faith and believe him that he wants to use us, that he wants to work in us, that he wants to work through us. And the key to that is humility. To bow our knee before him, not by our might, not in our strength and in our power, but through his spirit. And I really want to encourage us, each one of us daily, that we will cry out to God to use us, to work in us through his spirit. And then the second thing, or the second way we need to respond to him calling us in light of last week, that's obviously in light of last week, how do we respond? First one is humility. Not doing stuff in our own strength. And the second one is super important, and I felt this for us because I see it in myself, is not shrinking or drawing back. Not shrinking and drawing back from what God has for us. And that is a heart posture more than anything else. I realized something through us talking about evangelism. That's we've been talking about that. Through reaching the lost, through the prophetic week last week, you know, hearing the Lord's voice for us, but also hearing the Lord's voice for others. I think the biggest problem is that we do not believe that God can't do it. We know that God can do it. Each one of us will probably say, I know God can do it. I think most of us will say, I know that God wants to save people. I know that God wants to reach the lost. I know that God wants to speak to people. Most of us will say that we believe God wants to do it. I think the biggest problem we have is that we do not believe that he wants to use us to do it. I think that's the biggest problem. I see it in myself, so therefore I know it's in others. We don't believe that God wants to use us individually to do this. We think, yeah, it's good for other people, it's good for the leaders, and it's good for that person. But actually, God wants to use each and every one of us. Not the person next to you, you. Take your finger and put it on you. God wants to use you. Do we believe that? Because I think we believe a lie where we go, this is great for others, and I want to be part of what God does, but I'll stand back. Not because I don't believe God wants to do it, but I don't actually believe that God can use me to do it. And I want to say this morning, God wants to use you to do it. God wants you to step out the boat. God wants you to have faith, to have expectation, to have excitement for what he wants to do in you, but also through you, because it goes together. We can't just be people where God works in us, but we also just can't be people where God works through us. It's a balance of both, and we need both. He wants to use us, guys. He wants to use each and every one of us. He wants us to lay down our lives for his kingdom and for his glory. You, each one of us, not just some of us. If you've been saved for 40 years or for 3 weeks, God wants to use each and every person. And because we believe the lie that God doesn't want to use us, we shrink back. and we go, this is great, and I see it, and I'm excited for others, and I actually want to be part of it, but he doesn't want to use me. And I'm telling you this morning, it is a lie. God does not call us to shrink back. The other thing in light of this is we are scared we miss something or we do it wrong. So we are fearful to step out the boat. You know that word of fear this morning? We're fearful to step out the boat. We're fearful to have faith in God that he wants to use us because we are worried that we're going to get it wrong or we're going to miss something that God wants to do. And I'm telling you, you're right. We are going to get it wrong. And we are going to miss something. But God will use us anyway. If you go read the Bible, it's full of people that God used who missed it, who got it wrong, who didn't see him, who messed up, who came back to him. We are all broken vessels. Not one of us is perfect. We are going to get it wrong, and we are going to mess it up, but God wants to use us anyway. Do you guys hear this? This is a big lie, guys. I realized it last week as I've been praying for us, and last week through what happened, I just realized we shrink back because we're scared we mess it up, or we're scared we're going to miss it. And that's okay. We are going to miss it. But God wants to use us anyway. Because we do this in community, because we live in the light, because we do it together, there's a million boundary lines and safe spaces for us to step out the boat. We don't do it alone. Okay, that doesn't make sense. So don't be scared. Don't let the enemy steal your faith and replace it with fear because you're scared you do something wrong. You're scared that you miss it. Do not shrink back. God has not called us to shrink back. God wants to use us, each one of us. He wants to use ordinary people, like we're all ordinary. Not one of us is spectacular, I think. No, not one of us. Sorry. Poor joke. We are ordinary people, but God wants to use us for his plans and his purposes. We're ordinary people, but God wants to use us to walk in what he has for us, in the inheritance that he's called us for. Each one of us, individually, but together. He wants to see us prophesy. He wants to see us flow in the gifts. He wants to see us live in radical obedience. He wants to see us be people that read the word and that pray and that worship. He wants to see us opening our homes and doing life together, each one of us. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have it all together. We don't have to have the biggest houses or the biggest budget. We don't entertain each other. We host each other. We do life together because it's what he's called us to do. And by his spirit, he equips us to do that. It's not through our own strength. He wants to see us use every opportunity to reach the lost. He does the work. I've been blown away since we started this journey. I've been blown away by the amount of opportunities God is starting to give me just because I asked him to. I don't create them. It just happens. Yesterday I was having a conversation with someone, and this guy was, we were talking about school rugby, and he's a Sachs old boy, and I obviously taught at Weinberg, so there's a connection, and we speak, and he's just swearing all the time. And eventually the question comes, so what do you do? But we're having a lack of chat. Now, I don't want to be orkies, but so I said, no, I'm a pastor. Guys, you must see the shift in his language. And then he goes, I explained to him where we're at and, you know, Josh and whatever. And he actually goes to a church down the road. And I was like, whew, you need to go more often, buddy. But my point is just, it was an opportunity. We just connected. There was a mutual thing, and God just connected us. And I'm hoping I'm going to see him again. But my point is just, if we are just prepared to be used by God, not shrink back, not allow fear to overwhelm us, and actually just go, God, I have faith that you want to use me. God will give us opportunity. He does. He's faithful. He builds his church. He brings the lost in. He wants to use us. But shrinking back will steal that. I want to ask that we have, that we, like Melanie said, that we are a people of faith, that we won't shrink back, and that we trust him with the outcome. Because the outcome is his. The outcome is his. It's not ours. In Hebrews 10, we read a powerful scripture. And the context of the verses that we are going to read now is the writer was urging Christians not to cast away their confidence, but to remember past struggles where they stood firm, because they were going through a tough time, this church. So let's just quickly read Hebrews 10, 32 to 39. So the author reminding them of what they've been through. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, came to salvation, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. This is now the church, eh? At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. I mean, that's nuts. Just imagine someone comes to your home and takes your house and you joyfully go, take it. Because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Love that. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And that is for us. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And that speaks about salvation, but if you can just go to verse 38. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. I almost said Paul. I don't know who the author was, but the author was urging this church to remember what they've been through and to not... Oh, shucks. Oops. We'll fix it now. We'll fix it now. Sorry. Thanks. We can leave it for now. It's a bit awkward when I stand here and you kind of at my feet. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it. God is... So, for this church, the author was reminding them to not shrink back in the midst of what God has called them to do. Like they had the inheritance, God was calling them. The author was saying, time is short, I'm coming back soon, do not shrink back. And I want to encourage us with the same word. Let's not be a people that shrink back, but in humility we allow the Spirit to do the work and we stand in faith and in boldness and courage. You know, Milani used a word last week that we'll be people with guts. You know, that we'll have guts to see what God wants to do. God's heart is for us not to shrink back, but to live by faith, to deeply trust that He can do what He wants to do in us, and He can do what He wants to do through us. It's a deep trust to humble ourselves and allow the Spirit to do the work, to let go of our lives and our treasures for His glory and for His plans and His purposes. And I want to say, I'm super excited for this. I want to be part of Josh in Weinberg, who walk in what God has for us, right? 30, 40 years from now, if I'm still alive, hopefully, I want to look back at Josh in Weinberg and go, we walked in what God had for us, each one of us. It's not a special bunch of people. It's not for the few. It's for every single person. We trusted God. We allowed His Spirit to work, and we did not shrink back. Corin, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you share that word about the grapes that you shared this morning? Please. So we obviously had our prayer meeting this morning, and she brought a word just about grapes, which was really good. So I'm going to ask you just to share on that quickly. Sorry.
No, so good. I was actually scrolling it as you were there. Something it's been such a profoundity for me in the sense that when you think of grapes, and I don't know nothing about growing grapes and vineyards and that, but you know when you go buy some grapes from the store, they've got, depending on where you buy them from, they have a bit of a lifespan. Sometimes they'll last 2 days, sometimes 3 days. Those of you who shop at Woolworths, last a week, okay? But they've got a lifespan and they've got one purpose. It's to be eaten. Once you've ingested it, that's it. But when grapes are taken and they're crushed and the juice is taken out of them and in the hands of a skillful farmer, that same grape that once had a short life expectancy and a singular purpose now becomes an item that has multi-purpose. Not only that, but the longer it's preserved and made into that wine, it gets value. And the longer and the harder it gets pressed and compressed and matured, the value increases. And I know for myself as well, I don't like to be crushed. I don't like to be broken. It's not a fun experience. But the Lord has challenged me that the working and the outcome of the crushing is where you find your value. A grape has a short-term use. A bottle of wine has long-term purpose. It's medicinal. It's functional. It can be used in cooking. It can be used to celebrate at weddings and feasts or celebrations. It can be a balm. It can be an ointment. It can be a salve. It can do so many things more. But if it isn't crushed, it has very limited purpose. And so I've learned through our lives and our journey, when the Lord has crushed us, it's not because we think crushing, we just focus on the stamping and the pain and it hurts. But he says, no, I want you to be more purposeful and I want you to be more useful because I love you and I see what you have in you. And if I left you in that place of comfort on the tree, your life and your usefulness is very short. But in the master's hands, the vine dresser's hands, we can look forward to what he's doing in the crushing, because there he's creating purpose and destiny and usefulness, not just for me, but for everyone that gets to partake and taste and see that the Lord is good.
So, yeah, that's a good word, eh? Thanks, Corin. Yeah, and then someone else also this morning during our prayer meeting brought a word about how Jesus is asking us to come to him out of our own, and not get to a point where, because he loves us, he forces us to come to him and to humble ourselves, but how beautiful it is for him when we actually come to him in our own strength, by ourselves, and allow him to come crush us, actually, and do the work, so that we're not just grapes that get used within a week, but that he makes new wine out of us, new wineskin, and that we'll allow him to use us. So I want to ask us, let's be people who allow the Holy Spirit to work humility in us. This is a dangerous prayer, so I'm not going to pray it for us. You must pray it if you feel like it, but ask God to humble you. Ask him to humble you. Don't take it lightly, because you will. But ask him to humble you. Ask him, cry out for his Spirit. I really want us to be a people with faith and expectation that we're going to see God move. Not in the short term, but in the long term. And it's only through his Spirit. I want to end with this scripture, Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14. Paul writes, and I want to encourage you to go read Philippians 3. It's a beautiful scripture. Paul writes his words from prison. And at the start of this chapter, he basically writes about letting go of his life. And he actually realized that whatever gains he had, he considers a loss for the sake of knowing Christ. So let's read it. Paul writes and he says, not that I have already obtained all this, what he's aiming for, or already have been made perfect, but this is important. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Just keep it there quickly. Sorry. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I want to encourage us with that. God has called us to impact the Sound Suburbs, to impact Weinberg. He's called us to be a people who live by faith, in humility, to allow his Spirit to work in and through us. And we must be a people that strives in the Spirit to take hold of that, because that is something that God took hold of us for, and we need to, with our lives, try to take hold of that. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I want to say, last week was a watershed moment for us, right? So I want to ask us, let's forget about the past. Let's forget about moments where we stepped out the boat and it didn't work out for whatever reason. Let's let go of the fear and the lie that God doesn't want to use us. Let's put that behind us. Let's, together as a body, strive towards the thing that God has called us to do, and that is to influence the Sound Suburbs, to live by faith, to not shrink back. I wanted to say something now. Oh, we had this picture 2 weeks ago where the Sound Suburbs is like a sleeping giant. I really believe God has a great inheritance for us, and he wants to wake up this giant that will impact the sound suburbs, our neighborhoods, even nations. And it's going to require each one of us to step out the boat, to live in faith, to trust Him, to humble ourselves, and to allow His Spirit to work in us. It's not just for a few, it's for every single person.